I want to just begin with you in just a few minutes. I'm not going to speak long on this because I just want to introduce this. I finished up my Wednesday night series and my Sunday night series this past week. And so I want to start with you something that I've entitled Getting Serious About Reaching the World with the Gospel. Getting Serious. And I want to take you back to Acts chapter 13. I'm just going to read the first five verses of this passage of Scripture as we see men ready to go with the gospel. And we're going to look beginning at verse 1 and go through chapter 5 and just let the Word speak to us as we consider these men who got serious about taking the gospel. Remember, they'd already reached Jerusalem, Judea. They're leaving from Samaria. And where are they going? To the uttermost parts of the earth. First missionary trip, as you're going to see in just a moment. Let me read these verses. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. By the way, Cyrene was located in present-day Libya, right, North Africa. And Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now think about these men. I wrote their names down here. I'll take you to this page right here. They're listed in here. And I don't even know if I've ever heard a message or even preached a message myself on these first missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now maybe I've heard one and I've just forgotten it. But this is an interesting group of men burdened. They had been fasting, they had been praying, they had been serving God, and the Holy Spirit spoke and indicated these men need to go and carry the gospel to Asia Minor. Present-day Turkey was where the location was, Galatia, where the Apostle Paul went on his first trip. But notice these men. We see Saul listed last. His name changes in this chapter. Saul, who is called Paul. And from that point on, he's called Paul. Saul meaning great one, Paul meaning little one, right? Small one. That's the picture that's given there. And I've always wondered, why did God change his name? What was the purpose behind that? Other than the meaning, maybe that was just it. Maybe that was all that needed to be said. But his name was changed from Saul, Hebrew name, to Paul. Maybe it was because his ministry was to the Gentiles. And so he takes a name that the Gentiles would have recognized immediately. They wouldn't have been turned off by the fact that this is a Hebrew coming to talk to us. This was a man that had full Roman citizenship, and he didn't buy it. How did he get it? The Bible says he was freeborn. So there was an interesting family situation, Hebrew, Gentile. He had Roman citizenship. He was also a Hebrew. God uniquely prepared him for his ministry, but Paul was not alone. He was not alone. Look at this list here. Barnabas. We all know and heard his name. And Barnabas was a tremendous witness, willing to go, willing to serve. Then you have John Mark, who was his relative. And John Mark was one that on that first trip had left, came back home during that time. And there was a contention that happened between Paul and Barnabas about that. But isn't it interesting that Paul says after 15 years, I need John Mark. He's ready. He's ready to go. Bring him on with you. So it wasn't a complete failure. And I don't know that the contention was to the fact that Barnabas just quit missions work. I don't think that he did. I think he was involved all the way to the end of his life. But he was involved as a first missionary to go out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Then there's Simeon called Niger. Anybody want to take a guess as to what color he was? Yeah. Now, notice I didn't say what race he was. All right? Because the only difference between anybody of any color is just what levels of melanin you have in your body. That's it. We're all one blood. And here's a man who's reaching out on the first missionary trip to the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, I dare say that there's no white people in this list. How many of you think Paul was white? Yeah, isn't it amazing how we think? We're so conditioned to assign colors. And we don't think about that. But God has called everyone to His work, of every nation, of every color, to carry His word. So you have Simeon. You have from North Africa, Lucius of Cyrene, a man of darker skin, serving the Lord. Then you have the one that I have just really gotten interested in, this individual right here. It's so intriguing to me. All right? His name is Manaen. And Manaen was the foster brother of what king? Herod Antipas. All right? Herod Antipas, he was a foster brother. Now, many scholars believe that he also was a black slave that had proven himself so faithful that he was taken in by the family and granted sonship. And yet he became a born-again believer in Christ, left all of that, and became a missionary to carry the gospel. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Taken from the court of Herod Antipas, who was not a friend, by the way, of Christianity. And God just said, I'm going to take that foster brother right there, and I'm going to make him one of my children, and I'm going to send him out to carry the gospel. These six individuals that are named here in chapter 13 form the first evangelistic team to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now there, and I'm gonna finish with this. Let me get back up here to this. This is kind of the map of the first missionary trip. They left from Antioch, all right, in the region of Samaria, if you want to call it that, or Syria today. That's where that's located. Went across over to Cyprus. Cyprus was whose home? Which one of these six men, well, his home was Cyprus? Anybody know? Barnabas. Barnabas was from Cyprus. So he went back to home, went across the entire island, got on a ship, went over to Perga, then up to Antioch of Pisidia, over to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then they made their way back in this same chapter. They make this whole loop. That's what's pictured here. Back to Antioch. That's their travel. This is present-day Turkey up here. So, the first missionary trip to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Was there any risk? Yeah. You know, it's easy for us to look back and we say, oh man, how wonderful it was that these men went on this mission trip. I want to tell you something. It was hard. It was hard work. You didn't get on Carnival Cruise Line to leave Seleucia, go over to Cyprus, and then from Paphos up to Perga, jumped on the Norwegian lines. But take that across. You know what riding in those ships was like? I have read a couple of books on related to the slave trade. John Newton, specifically, his autobiography that was written and retranslated in a more modern English. And I want to tell you something. He describes the stench on those ships. And he said, they would take the alcohol, the wine, and douse the wood to try to kill the smell of the vomit and the sickening odors that were there. Men that would die, and they'd have to drag their bodies out and throw them overboard. Understand, traveling by ship in those days was not something that was pleasant. It was just, this is the only way we can get there. This is the fastest way we can get there. And these six men went for what reason? So they could have a vacation in Asia Minor? Nope. Hard work. Hard work going to places they'd never been before. for the purpose of carrying Jesus Christ's gospel to those that were lost. Now let me ask you something as we close this out. What are we willing to do to get serious about getting the gospel out? Until you get serious about reaching your neighborhood, you'll never get serious about missions in general. Now, you may not agree with that, but I'm telling you, it's true. You cannot somehow salve your conscience by just saying, well, I support missions, all right? How do you support? Just financially? That's not enough. We got to reach out to those people that are in our neighborhoods. Do they know you're a Christian? Have you spoken to them? I'll never forget, went over whenever we bought our property from the next door neighbor. He said, I've lived across from an evangelist. He's never walked across the street and asked me about my soul all the years that we had been there with an evangelist that was living there across the street. I thought that was sad. And I said, well, I'm glad I came over. I didn't want you to think bad about me. But I witnessed to him. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, his wife called me 2 days before he died. He said, Todd, can you come over? He wants you to read Scripture and sing to him. And so I did. Man was laying there dying. And I sat down beside his bed, and I read Bible verses to him and so forth. And he grabbed my hand, reached across and grabbed my hand. I'll never forget. And he said, Todd, thank you so much. I'll see you on the other side. And that was the last conversation I had. 2 days later, he was gone. They took him to the hospital, and he had died. But, folks, we got to get interested. We got to talk to people. If you're too busy to talk to your neighbors, you're too busy. We got to get serious about the matter of reaching the lost. And you know what will happen when you start witnessing and you start getting reaching out to people in your neighborhood? You'll start thinking about others that you can reach with the gospel. And so let me encourage you in that regard. Let's get serious, because I'm going to tell you something. The trump's about to sound, and we're going to be snatched up off this earth, and we're going to have to give an account of how we used our resources, how we used this to reach people with the gospel. Father in heaven, I pray you'd bless your word. Help us to understand the cost that was involved with these six individuals who went to carry your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.